All right, here we go. You ready? Let's get into God's word. Father, we bless you and we love you and we thank you. You are the great I am that I am, the executor of the plan and the Holy Ghost that's come to live resident on the inside of us. Never leave us nor forsake us. We ask you to wash us in your word today that we'll never be the same. We have ears to hear. We have hearts to receive. Reveal yourself to us today in a new and different way, in the mighty name that's above every name. This name, say it with me, in the name of Jesus. We agree. All right, here we go. We've been studying, Pastor Terry's been taking us through the book of Jude and looking at some of the difficulties that our early fathers had. The trouble in the early church came from primarily two groups. They were infiltrating the church. Those two people are the Gnostics. What a funny name. And the Judaizers with Paul. So let me just break it down in the most simplest terms. Ultra liberal, ultra conservative. Here's the thing. They're teaching people without television, telephone, internet, any of the things about Jesus to people who never saw him. Okay? That did not have this full work. Okay? They had a letter here and a letter there, and they were getting bits and pieces of it, but they didn't have the full volume bound, printed, so every person could read it. The Torah scroll, the Old Testament scroll, is what they were preaching out of. Come on now. And it was kept put away, right? You didn't have one in your house, more than likely. So this is what's happening. They're teaching about Jesus to a people that didn't have a really good reference point concerning him. So this group appears to be knowledgeable. They come in from where he lived. And well, you see what I mean? And then, so you're susceptible to them telling you, well, he was this, but he wasn't that. You get it? And so this is why you'll see the disciples many times and the apostles say, whom we knew, whom we handled, whom we touched. You see that? Paul even says that he taught me. Okay? Those 3 years in Arabia. All of that is to give some credibility to, wait a minute, we were there, we saw it, we heard it. All right? So the only scripture that anyone had was the Old Testament, and the ministry of Jesus and the Holy Spirit had changed, and it didn't seem like there was really much mention of them in the First Testament. I mean, if you think about it. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Let me show you something very quickly in Hebrews chapter 1, because everything changed. Ready for this? Here we go. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, he's laying a case out for the way the Father dealt with us, the way he spoke to us. Look at verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance, key word, obtained a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be a father, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and all of the angels of God worship him, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar. I studied Hebrew more than I studied Greek. I'm working on it, though. I'm getting there. Pastor Rick, I'm getting there. Slowly, but surely getting there. There are two words here. One word for sundry times and one word for divers manners. And they mean this. In many parts or times and in different ways. What the writer of the book of Hebrews is talking about here is the different dispensations is the word, or administrations, to help you understand this. And in many times, there were many different times. At the time of this, there would have been five different ones. We're in the sixth one right now. The seventh one is very soon. That's the millennium. It's very soon.
Very soon.
Okay. we're in that transition stage, I really believe, between them. So in those times, he spoke to us by the prophets. Do you see that? Yeah. And in different ways and at different times. I like to look at it like this, like the United States. We've had one constitution since this thing began. France has had many. Other countries have had many. They change them all the time. Ours is basically the same. And even the things that didn't work, we leave it in there and just repeal it and put the new thing in. But it's still in there. It's just been amended and repealed. So different presidents at different times interpret the Constitution differently. You see it? So different presidents govern according to the same written Constitution, but they do it differently. Some are very strict in one way. Some are very loose in one way. Does that make sense? But it's the same governing document. So the Father had the same governing document, but at different times spoke to us in different ways, based upon your ability to handle it. Uh-oh. Right? And our understanding and our growth. And so this is what he's talking to us about. He spoke to us in different ways in our age and in our time. And now in these last days, here it is, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's a key phrase. And I'm going to get to that about the heir of all things in just a moment. The last days, the church age, the age of grace, he has spoken to us by his Son. Oh, let me just go ahead and drop the bomb now. Yes. And I'll touch it again later. Jesus was not always the Son. Let you pick your neighbor up. Now, he was slain before the foundation of the world. He agreed to do it, but hadn't done it. He was part of the Godhead, but not bodily. He didn't have a human body. He gave authority to us. Adam gave that away. He had to become a human in order to be an heir. Matter of fact, let me just pause right here. Let that soak in, because I tilted you. I get that. When did he become a son then? He became a son. Now, he became a son, agreed to do it a long time ago, so it's considered done. But he didn't become a son until he was sown into Mary and became flesh and dwelt among us. That's when he became a son. And he put on humanity forever. Matter of fact, let me just play this clip from Brother Copeland. We'll be right back. I'll continue on this passage.
Verse 7, he made of himself, talking about Jesus, no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus said, now you can go back to the book of Hebrews. Jesus said, no man can take my life. It is mine to take up or to lay down. No man can take it. He made himself obedient unto death. You know what he had to do? He had to die by faith. Because he never sinned. There was no death in him. He said that that wicked one comes, he's found nothing in me. When Satan came against him, Jesus just kept answering, it is written, it is written, it is written. Yes, sir. He put him down and he kept him down. Yes. Let me ask you something. Where did those words, it is written, where did that come from? Out of the seed. Out of the seed. It was already in there. Glory to God. So now, here he is. He makes himself completely obedient to death. And God laid on him. Now, I'm not talking about his flesh. His flesh was involved. He laid on him all sin, all sickness, all disease. What was this? The entire curse of the law. All of it. He was made a curse for us, that we might be made receive the blessing of Abraham.
There you go. He did that by faith. Now, all he asks you to do is what he did. Right? So even when we go home to be with the Lord, it takes faith to go home. It takes faith to stay here. But either way, you win. Because now you're in the blessing. I love that. Paul refers to Jesus as the heir of all things. You can't be an heir until you're born into that family. Right? That's how you become an heir. Heirship is based upon birth. So Jesus is the deity that created all things, but he had to become a human in order to inherit what he had created. He had to become us to inherit back what we gave away. Now, he will forever now be in a body. He's not like the Father and the Holy Spirit omniscient. You have the Holy Spirit. 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 I have the Holy Spirit. Guy way back over there has the Holy Spirit. He's in all of us. Jesus is not like that. He's got a glorified body now, but he has a body. That's one of the things he gave up to become identified with us, so that he could be an heir of all things. And when you're in him, you're an heir. My goodness. You have an inheritance. He's not sick now. He's not sin now. So you're in Christ. Now see, the Gnostics in the time of Jude and stuff are teaching you need Jesus plus this. No, you don't. You need Jesus. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? So he is the deity that created. He became the human that inherited back what he had originally created. My God. That's good stuff, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 13. Let me show you some verses now that talk about this. 2 Corinthians 13, because once you get an understanding of just who he is and what he did, it'll change how you see who you are. See, that's the thing I hear a lot about Brother Copeland and Brother Jesse and Jerry and Pastor Terry and George is, I don't know why they're kind of all arrogant. They're not arrogant, they're confident. They know exactly the authority of the believer and who they are. Yeah. Heard somebody say that about Andrew Womack. I go, no, you don't know him, because he's not. He's confident. He knows exactly who he is. I'll let that just kind of hover there for a minute. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. And the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The purpose of Paul's prayer from 2 Corinthians 13 was to instruct the Corinthian congregation about the individual ministries of the members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The New Testament prayer is filled with New Testament doctrine in there, all right, that prayer. Individual ministries of the Godhead were unknown in the First Testament. Now he speaks to us in different ways through his Son. See that? The Godhead now, it's presented in the Old Testament. The prophets, the believers, all didn't understand the separate functions of the three members. And sometimes people still get confused by that. It's taught and explained in our New Testament. Our greater understanding of the Godhead began when Jesus came and he entered into public ministry. And he increased us through the writings of the epistles of Paul and John and Peter. And we understand these things more. But I'll show you, it was always there. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, I'll read it really quickly. It says this, "And God said, let us, plural, make man in our image after our likeness." See that? That's plural. In Isaiah 48 verse 16, "Now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me." Now that's a prophecy coming from the future. The Lord God, there's the Father, and his Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, has sent me, that's Jesus. So they were there, but the understanding of how that works was not there. Now to us, we understand it better, right? You're a three-part being. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You're the same thing. In the Godhead, all three of them were righteous. All three. We have relative righteousness. See, our righteousness, our own, is not good. Scripture tells us it's filthy, right? But when you realize it's not Greg's righteousness, I'm trying to do everything I can to be righteous, it's his righteousness, and I have to use that. I have to do that by faith. I have faith in his righteousness. Yeah. And I'm as righteous today as the day I accepted him. And he's totally righteous. Completely excellent righteousness, right? You're only as good as your sacrifice, right? My sacrifice was perfect. They examined him over and over and over. I'm only as good as my sacrifice. Once man possesses God's righteousness, he can mature and grow stronger in it. Once you know you possess it, now you mature in it, you grow in it. And that's what this service at this church is all about, is maturing you in righteousness. We go a little deeper sometimes in here with things to do that very thing. Now, I played you the first part of Brother Copeland right there, and we stopped it at that point because I wanted to share a couple of things with you. Let me pick up on the rest of what he said in that videotape. Watch this.
Verse 7, "He made of himself," talking about Jesus, "no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus said, now you can go back to the book of Hebrews. Jesus said, "No man can take my life. It is mine to take up or to lay down. No man can take it." He made himself obedient unto death. You know what he had to do? He had to die by faith. Because he never sinned. There was no death in him. He said, that wicked one comes, he's found nothing in me. When Satan came against him, Jesus just kept answering, "It is written, it is written, it is written." He put him down and he kept him down. Let me ask you something. Where did those words, "it is written," where did that come from? The seed. Out of the seed. It was already in there. Glory to God. So now, here he is. He makes himself completely obedient to death. And God laid on him. Now, I'm not talking about his flesh. His flesh was involved. He laid on him all sin, all sickness, all disease. What was this? The entire curse of the law. All of it. He was made a curse for us, that we might be made. That we might receive the blessing of Abraham.
All right. It cut off again early. We'll just pick it up and go forward. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit cannot grow in righteousness because they're absolute righteousness. They always have been righteous, are righteous, and will always be righteous, right? All three possess eternal life. They have always existed and will always exist. We're not that way. Man has, we don't have that. We have everlasting life. Read the scripture sometime. We have, as men, everlasting life. His connection with God has a beginning and no end. With us, we have a beginning with no end. So when he decided to become a son and take on humanity, he had a beginning, but now he has no end. So now you're identified in him. I'm trying to get you to understand your identity in Jesus Christ. Because once you understand your identity in him, that there is a man in the Godhead, that didn't happen before, and now that happens. The deity that created this place had to become an heir to inherit back what he had already created. Because we gave it away. Right? Matthew chapter 3. You okay? Yes. All right. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When he'd been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So there's Jesus, the second member, was coming out of the water. The Holy Spirit, the third member, came from heaven upon him. And the first member, the Father, spoke from heaven and gave his approval of him. There's all three of them. Right? And you have that same thing in you. How many of you have the Holy Spirit in you?
Yes.
And you're in Christ.
Yes.
Your humanity, even, has been born again. You're in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Therefore, you have the Father's approval because he's already approved of Jesus, your sacrifice.
Yes. Yes.
You have the exact same thing coming up out of the water that he had. Okay, I got to do that little dance thing sometimes. Another passage that's very clear about this is the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Didn't say go make converts and put notches in your belt. Oh my. Oh my. Nothing wrong with going and getting converts. Jesus told the Pharisees one time, he said, "Oh, never mind, I shouldn't go there. you evil, he said, "You'll travel the world to make one convert and make him twice the son of the devil that you are." My goodness. Yeah, okay. Here's our assignment. Go therefore and make disciples. Discipleship's a process. You train them, you teach them, you establish them, you mentor them, you ground them in the word. You do stuff like we're doing this morning. That's why you join us. That's why you watch us from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle of the world, because you're discipled. Amen. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm also a disciple servant of Kenneth Copeland. It's where I'm fed. It's where I'm taught. Come on. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. And here it is, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There they are. So in the very opening passage I started you with, the Apostle Paul tells believers how the Godhead is involved in our everyday life. In 2 Corinthians 13, in verse 14, it said this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus is the one that brings God grace to us every day in the forgiveness of our sins. Every day. His mercy is new every morning. His mercy endureth forever. Dad Hagin said it every time he got up to speech. Well, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. I mean, he said it every single time. Well, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Well, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures. I'm telling you, you just start saying that to yourself time after time, especially when you want to have a hissy fit or pout or you know, is that a good word? Yeah. Have a fit? Just absolutely flesh out, go sideways. I've just picked today as my day. You just stay out of my way. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. When the pain's still there, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. When the phone is ringing and you see, you recognize that number from that bill collector, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. When they're coming home late, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. I'm telling you, you get that thing rolling around in you. What are you doing? You're not focusing on you now. You're focusing on him. I'm identified in him. I'm accepted in him. I'm righteous in him. I'm healed in him. I'm prospered in him. I'm blessed in him. I'm keeping myself in him. Amen. See, this is why those churches were struggling. They didn't have a good revelation of who he was. You're not like that. We're in him. Woo! Glory to God. The same seed that was planted in Mary, that seed, I became a recreated spirit like him. As he is, so are we in this world. I have that same seed, that same DNA flowing in me. My God, there goes the happy feet thing again. How can you stay sick when you realize that? How can you stay all mumbly peg and grumbly and woe, gloom, despair, and agony on me when you realize that? I'm telling you, a little joy bubble will start in you. You'll begin to, ha, ha, ha. I mean, it will. It'll just hit you. Because you're beginning to realize and talk about who you really are and what you really are and whose you are. That right now, I'm still on this earth, but positionally, I'm seated with him because I'm in him. Oh, my God. That means all things are under my feet, too. Right? Because they're under his feet. Is that right? I'm telling you, it'd make you as strong as an acre of garlic. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you go out to California someplace. There's a place out there, that's all they grow around that. I'm like, hey. The minute you walk into town, like, woo. Hungry for some spaghetti or something. I don't know why. Because I know where I'm at. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus Christ brings God grace to us every day. John described him for us in John chapter 1, verse 14 and 17. Verses 14 and 17. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's the personification of what that is. It's one of my favorite verses of all time. He's the one every day forgiving you of your sins. My God, where am I at? Lutheran church? Thought for a minute I was just transported somewhere else. Is this a Presbyterian? Where am I at? He's the one every day that's forgiving me of my sins. His blood continually. My God in heaven. His blood is continually washing me and washing me and washing me. And I pray it every time I preach to you guys. Wash us in your word. And so every day that I'm in the Word, I'm being washed, cleansed. My God, Jesus. He brings that grace every day, every morning for the forgiveness of sin. Listen to this, for the healing of your diseases. Every morning I'm healed and whole. Every morning I'm healthy. Every morning I'm stronger. Well, I still got the pain. Every morning it's going away. Every morning it's stronger. The healing power of God is at work in my body, affecting a healing and a cure. I don't care. And here we go. I'm going to take that pill. I'm going to take that insulin injection, all to the glory of God. And there's coming a day when I will not have to take this medication. There's coming a day when I won't have to take that insulin. But until then, I'm going to rejoice in it. Amen. I'm going to glorify God in it, because soon and very soon, I'm not going to take these pills anymore. Amen. Why? Because that's flowing in my body. Mr. Devil, you got to move Jesus off the throne. You tried that once and you got thumped. Amen. You tried to keep him in hell. You got thumped. Back where, ha, ha, ha. That's exactly right. Back where I come from, when you play football, Oklahoma, the goal is to put a half a hundred on them. That's what we always say. Put a half a hundred on them. You want to score 50 points. Just want to stomp a mud hole in them and then stomp the mud hole dry. That's the goal. We stomped a mud hole. Stomped them into a mud hole and stomped the mud hole dry. That means you just beat them and beat them. That's what Jesus did to the enemy.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Glory to God. Woo! He's meeting every one of my needs. Not because he's trying to. He just does. It just happens. That's it. I just got to get myself in alignment to it to know that that's happening all the time. Every need of mine is ever being met because of who he is. Woo! That happens to me all the time. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." There it is again. God the Father is the author of love and even named in that attribute. In 1 John chapter 4, the scripture says, God is love. God is love. He's not becoming love. Matter of fact, talk to the production crew real quick. We had that clip from Brother Copeland about God is love. Can somebody tell me if you got that or not? I'm calling an audible on you on this, and I apologize for it. Do you have that? God is love. Watch this.
Now then, honoring the word love, to honor God, to renew our mind. And this takes a decision, because you're in the habit of saying these kind of things. It takes a decision. Correct yourself. No, I don't love my new car. I enjoy it. Amen. I love the Lord that gave it to me. Amen. And he gave it for me to enjoy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's read this verse again. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now let's go down to the 16th verse. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, who is love, and God, who is love, in him. Now, we're going to do some of these things in this service tonight, but I just want to start you off like this. In the beginning, love created the heaven and the earth. Love did that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, who is love. Can you see what I'm doing here? See, that that strikes your thinking, causes you to begin to renew your mind. You start cutting new grooves in your brain where the word love is concerned and where the word God is concerned. You do the same thing with the word Christ. Amen. The anointed one and his anointing. Amen.
Amen. Love. Once I start realizing that everything the Father does concerning me is motivated by love, I can trust him. You with me? We have a joint partnership. He joins himself with us at our new birth to be our comforter, our advocate, our intercessor, our best friend. And he is going to be with us until the day we die. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit now. He's going to be with us until the day we die, and he will turn us over into the presence of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference in the fact that Jesus gave up something to redeem us. Back to that opening passage in Hebrews chapter 1, the last days, the church age, the age of grace, he has spoken to us by his Son. Right? Jesus, I told you a while ago, and this was the tilting moment, so brace yourself. New people that came in, I don't want to tilt you, but it might happen. Here we go. Jesus was not always the Son. He became the Son. He had agreed to do it before the foundation of the world. He became it when he put on humanity, when he was sown as a seed into this earth, into that little girl Mary. That's when he became a son. Because he had to become an, even though he'd created all things, he had to become an heir in order to inherit.
That's right.
Because we gave it away. So in order to inherit the earth back, he had to become an heir. He had to become a son in order to inherit what he had already created. I love it. Paul refers to Jesus as the heir of all things, and that heirship is based upon the new birth, upon his birth. He is the deity, I said this, he's the deity that created, and he became the human that inherited back what he had already created. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 8. But unto the Son he said, listen to this. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. I'm in him. I'm in him. Right? My years shall fail not. But to which of the angels shall he at any time... But which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are you an heir of salvation?
Yes.
Okay, so you, like Jesus, were born into this earth. Yes? And you have received him. Therefore, you have an heirship inheritance as a son. He is the first begotten of many brethren. I don't know what number I am in the line, but I've got a number. I'm numbered with him. He's the first one. I'm somewhere in that line. I don't care what my number is. I'm just glad I'm numbered.
Amen.
Right? And so I'm with him. So if I am with him, that means that I have some beings in the spirit realm that are supposed to minister for an heir of salvation. That's what I am. Have you received salvation?
Yes.
You're an heir of salvation. That means there's ministering spirits out there that are there to minister to you. My God. They love, they're here today. They love to hear us talk about him. They love to hear us preach about him. Because we're in a different class, different sort of being. They come to church. They love to hear Pastor George preach. They love to hear you talk about. What they don't understand is when you'll talk about him and then all of a sudden start talking about whatever Big Mama says or whatever the TV says. Then they're like, what do we do with that? We can't do anything with that. But man, when you start talking the word from your righteous place, from where you're seated from, do you understand there's not a fallen angel out there that can stop them? My goodness. The ministry of angels has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's the theme in the book of Hebrews, but especially the 12th chapter, where we compare the law under Moses and grace under Jesus Christ. Mount Sinai is where the law was given. Mount Zion is the typical of where the church was given. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, very quickly, Hebrews chapter 12, we got just a few minutes. You guys okay?
Yes.
You learning anything today?
Yes.
I am. I'm making myself happy. Because he talks about something. Here, let me start in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. No shame in me now. He endured, he became the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Not your spirit. Not your spirit. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And he hath forgotten. And you have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as little children. My son, despise not thou the chastity of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? Because he's love. Everything that he does, if he does that, it's out of love.
Right. That's right.
We stop our children from running across the street because we love them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's that rebellious one. If he gets hit, he gets hit. We'll just have another child. Are you kidding me? No. No. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You go on down, you read all this stuff. This is after the big faith chapter in chapter 11. All the heroes of faith. They didn't have what you have now. You have a completed book with all the will and purpose of God available to you, with the ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. You understand all those people in Hebrews chapter 11 didn't have all those angels available to them that you have available to you today? They were living in a system that was under the control of that other group. Now that other group's not in control. Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And look at this. And to the innumerable company of angels. Anybody want to guess what that word means? What does it mean when it says innumerable? You can't count them. Whatever Lucifer had, whatever that third number was, that's it. That's it. You can count them. That's it. He can't make new ones. But let me tell you something about your father. He can. I said if he wanted to, he can. Let me tell you this. If things get so bad for you, honey, I don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow. If things get that bad, he's never lost the recipe to manna.
Amen.
He'll make a whole bunch of quail fly into your yard. Come on now. You have an innumerable account. The storehouses of heaven, you can't count this. You can't count the parts that he has for your physical body. You can't count the resources that he has for you. My God. See, you've been believing God for a money. That's the whole testimony of Michelle and I on her diamond ring, us getting married. I was believing God for, I needed this amount. And it rose up in my spirit. I was listening to Keith Moore in school that day. And Keith Moore said, you don't need You don't need money to eat steak. You need steak.
That's right.
That you can get steak lots of ways. And I realized it as I drove to campus. There's steak standing right out there in the field. That's somebody. Now, somebody owns that steak and it's alive, but that's steak. Right?
Yes.
And to go kill it would be a mistake. But that's right? But that's steak. And I all of a sudden I realized I don't need money for a diamond. I need a diamond. I changed my faith. I just need a diamond. Lord, I'm not going to get focused on that amount anymore. I'm focusing on I need a diamond, and it ain't no little rock because it's Michelle. And you know where it is. I'll either find it on the road. Somebody will bring it to me. I'll go to Arkansas and dig in the dirt because I hear they have them over there. There's a diamond out there for her. And it wasn't very long right after that, I got a phone call. Somebody in our family had died. And they left this and that and the other to my sister, and there wasn't a whole lot of stuff, but there's a few things, and I don't know if you want this. Maybe you could sell this or do something with it. And it was a diamond. I said, I'll take it. Wow. And she wears it today.
Amen.
And it ain't no Little Rock.
Amen.
Because I got my faith changed. From looking about how much I need to all I need is that. And there are, you know, a million ways this can happen. And there's millions, innumerable amount of angels that are out there. My God, somebody, that's for somebody. I'm helping somebody. Listen to this. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and of the blood and the sprinkling that speaks of better things, things better than Abel. In that passage of Scripture, you and I have become the General Assembly. That's who we are. Woo! The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we come to church, it's called the General Assembly of the Firstborn. That's who we are. Right? The reason that we come to the Church Universal exists because of the Firstborn, Jesus Christ, in us. We no longer come to Him fear and trembling. We come boldly into His throne of grace because we are numbered in the assembly of the firstborn, and we have innumerable amount of angels working on our behalf when we learn to speak the word only and realize who we are in Christ Jesus and that I am an heir of all things. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. We'll be back with Pastor George in just a moment. God bless you.